Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Julian Story Aviation Podcast.
So here it is, episode 3 of the Julian Story Aviation Podcast. In this edition, we'll be discussing how the future of aviation might look once the coronavirus pandemic has passed, and then we'll be looking into the world of farm strip flying. The world remains gripped by the COVID-19 pandemic, and there still doesn't seem to be much of a light at the end of the tunnel. But eventually things have to return to normal. Joining us now to discuss how he sees business aviation once this is all over is pilot, aviation consultant and founder of the BizJet TV YouTube channel, Fabrizio Poli. Fab, hi.
Hi, Julian. Thanks for having me on your show.
Pleasure to have you. Thank you very much. So the world's gone mad. All of the aircraft that we look after are grounded. I got one stuck in South Africa. It's almost impossible to fly now unless it's an essential fly, which none of mine really are. So when this is all over, how do you see things going? Is there a light end of the tunnel?
I think there is. I mean, unfortunately, the airline industry is going to take a long time to recover. I don't see, travel bans and that have been lifted. I don't see a lot of people jumping on airplanes, going on holiday or stuff like that. A, because they won't have the money, or B, because they're afraid of catching a virus.
Absolutely.
So the airline industry is going to take a long time to recover. What about private aviation? Well, we know that, half of the billionaires in the world do not own an airplane. A lot of these charter, but most of them actually travel with the airlines, or have been traveling with the airlines.
Yep.
I've been getting phone calls from a number of these people over the last few weeks who are now looking into buying an aircraft. On the other side, there are people that own their private jets whose businesses have collapsed during this pandemic situation and lockdown and whatnot. And so their airplanes have come on the market and they're for sale. There's been a lot more stuff come on the market over the last few weeks. Prices have come down, I would say, probably by 5 to 10%.
There are some real bargains.
Sometimes even more, depending on depending on how urgent it is to sell their airplane. But on the other end, I think overall, where they were saying before this pandemic hit, that the market was going to grow by 3.6% over the next 10 years, the various world reports and whatnot talking about private aviation, that number is going to go up to 6% a year. Because I think overall, and this is not just, let's just look at history. If we go back at 9/11, when 9/11 happened, after 9/11 in 2002, what was called executive jet management then became NetJets. Warren Buffett plugged a load of money into it, and they went out and ordered 400 airplanes. And we saw, NetJets, fraction ownership, it started to become, I'm not saying mainstream, but, people started to talk about it, and more corporations and wealthy individuals started to fly private. Well, I think we're going to see the same thing here. I mean, of course, with your own private jet, you control the airplane, you control the crew, you can have your airplane disinfected, you can have your crew tested. So, the viruses, you choose who's flying on the airplane, as well as, the security aspect of it, and the flexibility of having a private jet leaving when you want, landing at secondary airports and all that stuff. Now, throw into the mix the fact that it's healthier to fly by private jet. They are going to be buying private jet because they don't want to risk catching a virus.
I think
it's going to be positive for private owners. I don't know about the charter market. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. When people approach me and tell me they're considering buying a private jet, I always say to them, there's only one good reason not to buy one. And that's that you can't afford it. So I think with the pandemic and the risk of traveling in close proximity to other people, I think it's probably even more likely that people are going to try and afford it. Because if you can, why wouldn't you?
Well, there's a lot of people out there that can afford it, but they haven't bought one yet, and they have their reasons. I think, you know, we now have another reason why. I mean, think of people that have to travel for business and have to get somewhere now for a meeting that they can actually have, but they can't travel because the airlines aren't going there right now.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. So, I think the airlines are going to take such a hit. I think the sort of the network, the amount of the frequency of flights, the places you can fly to, I think certainly in the short to medium term, that's going to be massively diminished. So I think in terms of being able to get to where you want, when you want to get there, I think a private jet is the obvious option if you've got the money to be able to afford it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, think of British Airways. I mean, they've got 90% of their fleet grounded at the moment.
Yep.
Once they resume flights, they're not going to put all the airplanes up in the air in one go. They're going to look at a number of routes and they're going to say, okay, well, instead of flying to New York 10 times a day, we're going to fly 5 times and see what the load factor is like. Because they know people aren't just going to jump in the air right away.
Yep.
So, you know, it costs money to operate airplanes, as you know. So you're right. I mean, then how do you get to New York at a certain time on a Wednesday morning?
Well,
you fly private.
Yeah,
you choose what time you want to leave. And you can leave from Oxford Airport and you don't have to travel all the way to Heathrow. And the other thing, which a lot of people haven't thought about, and I did do a video on this on BizJet TV, is the fact that
if you think that getting to the airport 3 hours before your flight because of security checks, which is what happened after 9/11, we saw a lot of changes in airports. We're going to see changes once again. And this time they're going to be introducing the virus checks. Now, this is not an opinion of mine. The news is already out there. That's what they want to do. Certain airlines were only going to allow you to travel if you've got a certificate, or they're just going to say, you know what, we'll just introduce the machines at the airport. And obviously someone's going to make some money on that.
Yeah.
And you'll spit in a tube and they'll test you. And then what's going to happen is some people are going to be turned down for the flights. So you turn up, you've got a slight cold, but you're okay to travel. And you say, excuse me, sir. No, you can't travel. Yeah. And now you've got your business trip organized and the airline's telling you you're not allowed to get on the airplane. So that's going to create a lot of disruption. And I can see that coming.
I think you're
so
right.
So another reason why to fly private and have your own private jet, because you don't get any of that hassle. You can, some places you can drive up to the airplane and get on the plane and off you go.
Absolutely.
Other places you just go through the FBO check-in, which is a quick 10-minute thing, and you're on the airplane. So, you know, that's what's going to be happening. So I think there's a bright future ahead for private aviation. I'm not sure on the charter side, because a lot of charter companies have been hit right now, but certainly on private ownership side, I think a lot of corporations and private wealthy families are now looking at buying their own airplane. I mean, I've been getting more calls than usual. People have been putting money down and that things are moving. And right now is also a good time because there are a number of, unfortunately, wealthy people that are no longer wealthy or about to no longer be wealthy because their businesses have been affected by this whole lockdown situation.
Yeah. I'm...
And so you can pick up the airplane that was going for $25 million in January. Today you can pick it up for $21, $22.
Yeah, or even less. I mean, there are some tremendous bargains out there. I mean, I get the emails through each day, you know, some of the things that are for sale. And, you know, I can't believe the deals that are out there. If you've still got money, now is the time to be buying.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you can bargain, you know, you can say, look, here's the money, all in escrow in one go. You show the person on the other end that you're serious. There's 20 million. You can have it. As long as the pre-buy inspection goes well, the deal's done. And people are going to say, well, it's best to take 20 million today than try and, you know, fight my way through to 22, 23 million. And then the guy walk away.
Absolutely.
Because people know that other people are going through a difficult time. And so consequently, you know, there could be another airplane pop on the market tomorrow morning that's the same type as yours is. So you might as well take the 20 million today before something else pops on the market and the potential buyer goes off and buys someone else's airplane instead of yours.
Absolutely right.
So certainly a good time to buy. Also, it's a good time to fly as well because fuel's really cheap.
Yes, it is.
And I don't see the price of fuel going up back to $50, $60 a barrel, which it was a few months ago. I mean, it's sitting between 10 to 15 at the moment and probably go up to 25, 30 and settle there. So, you know, it's going to be cheaper to fly a private jet because the fuel's going to be cheaper.
Absolutely right.
So throw that other reason in there. But I mean, I think safety and health are right up there. And I always talk about the health benefits of flying private. And I talked about that in my book, Health for Flyers, that my wife and I wrote together. My wife's a herbalist. I'm the pilot. And we teamed up and we wrote this book just based off of experience. But, you know, the air in the cabin is an important factor. Which plays into, you know, the health of individuals and the pressurization as well. I mean, I'm probably one of the very few people when I'm talking to somebody about buying an airplane, I talk to them about the pressurization. and say you need to look for an airplane that where the cabin pressure is lower, because if it's lower, there's more oxygen. And when you get off the 10-hour flight, you're more rested than if you're flying at 8,000 feet in the cabin instead of 4,500 feet.
Absolutely right.
And that makes a big difference. But a lot of people don't realize that the environment in the cabin is key. And the last thing you want to be doing is spending $35,000 to fly in the fancy cabin with Emirates to Dubai from London, and some guy in row 220 sneezes and has got some sort of virus and you catch it.
Absolutely.
If you're on your own private jet, you can have everyone tested that's coming on the jet with you, that
yes,
works
you
with you, or
yes, you
and off you go. So you're in a safe environment. And so a lot of people are looking at that right now. Half of those billionaires that don't own a jet, I'm not going to say all of them are going to buy a jet, but I can certainly see 20-25% of them jumping in and buying a jet.
Absolutely right. And like you said, just like 9/11 back then, you were concerned about, you know, is the guy on the plane, is he a terrorist? Now is the guy on the plane, does he have coronavirus?
Exactly. So same situation. We can learn a lot from history, and that allows us to sort of predict what's going to happen next. I mean, I think one of the factors also that to be looking at is technology, and technology is going to evolve. I mean, the jet engine that we have today is not very different from the jet engine that was invented in the 1940s. And one needs to question how come airplanes are still flying at the same speed they were flying back in the 1960s. So I think we're going to see that change. So technology and that, so that's going to be interesting. So I think, you know, when the airline market does get back on track, I think we're going to see people fly in a different manner. I think we're going to see a lot of technological advancements in the next 5 to 10 years. And I think the fact that oil is so low right now, where a lot of these inventions that are already out there that haven't been brought into the mainstream because the economy is based off of oil. Now that dependency upon oil is not so much there now because of the price gone down, the industry has gone out the window. And so maybe now is the time to unravel these new technologies that have been suppressed over the years and come up with something new. I mean, already Elon Musk is talking about flying people in rockets from anywhere to anywhere in less than an hour. Now that's going to be interesting. And the guy's got the money and the guts to do it. The only hurdle I think he's got in front of him will be certification to fly passengers.
There'll be regulatory hurdles with that for sure.
Yeah, of course. And of course, not everybody can fly on a rocket because they may have heart problems. So that's not going to be for everybody. But, you know, I can certainly see next 10 years that could be something that will be developed. So, you know, there's a lot of changes are going to happen. And we see also all the electric vertical takeoff and landing projects that are out there. There's about 50 of them right now. The urban mobility projects, there's 60, 70 cities that are signed up to that. So that's being developed. And, you know, so people now have got time to sit and think instead of being rushing around like we all do usually. And as people have been sitting and thinking, I think that's going to cause a lot more changes with technology. So if we thought technology was advancing quickly now, wait next 3 or 4 years as a result of this moment of reflection that we've been having over the last month or two because of the lockdown. I think there's people tampering in their garages and sitting around and thinking, and we're going to see some more changes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the supersonic biz jet is going to be the next big thing. I mean, you've got companies like Boom. There's a few companies working on a Gulfstream, I believe. If you're in the Abramovich league, that's going to be the thing to have, isn't it? It won't be the G650 anymore. It's going to be something that's faster than the speed of sound.
Yeah, well, I've always said, I mean, when Airbus decided to do the A380, I was dead against it from day one. I said, you know, we need to have 200-seater supersonic aircraft. That's the future. It's speed. Why? Because everything else is speeding up. Look at computers. Look at cell phones. You know, look at TVs. I mean, now you used to have to go out. You wanted to watch a movie in the evening. You had to go out to Blockbuster, rent a video, come home, watch it, take it back the next day.
Yeah.
Hey, you just switch the telly on Netflix, press a button, done.
Yeah.
And if you want it in a different language, press another button and it comes out in a different language.
Yeah.
So, you know, all this has changed and we're going to see the supersonic air travel come back again and maybe even faster. So certainly, you know, people like, you know, companies like Aerion, like Boom Aerospace and a few others that are out there, they're the ones to look at. And, you know, and even, you know, the Boeing and Airbus, who knows, maybe Boeing and Airbus won't be dominating the airline industry. Maybe Gulfstream and Bombardier won't be the dominators in the private jet industry in the next 5 to 10 years, a bit like with cell phones. I mean, 15 years ago, everybody's buying Nokia and Motorola's.
Yeah.
And now everyone's buying Samsung and Apple.
Absolutely
so
right.
So we could see that happen in aviation too.
Yeah. I think the supersonic thing is going to happen much earlier in the bizjet world. I still have some
reluctance to think that it's going to happen quickly in the airline world. I mean, they all thought that Concorde was going to be the next big thing, but it turned out to be the Boeing 747. People wanted cheap rather than speed, I think, in terms of the mass market. But certainly in the bizjet world, it's not about money. It's about speed. It's about efficiency. The whole point of a private jet is it buys you time. The more money you've got, the more time you can buy for yourself. So I can see the supersonic thing happening in the bizjet world probably a lot quicker, a lot sooner than it will maybe in the airline world. What do you think?
And I think with the airlines, what we've got to look at, and again, we just mentioned it, the regulatory situation with flying people on rockets instead of planes. But, you know, someone like Elon Musk can pull it off. And even Jeff Bezos, if you look at their rockets, why is it they've been insisting on taking off and landing vertically? I mean, yes, they want to go to Mars and the moon and whatnot. But, you know, think if we were to launch out in a rocket, you could get to the other side of the world in 40 minutes. And the problem with rockets is the cost is because they only use a rocket once every year. Yep. But if you're using the rocket three or four times a day, now that the operating cost comes down because you're using it again and again and again. Now, of course, it's not going to happen in every city in the world, but at least 20 to 25 cities will have a platform which will launch this. And so maybe the future of airline travel and cargo is going to be the rockets. Probably cargo will come first because they're not live people on board. Yeah. And that's going to take longer to certify. But certainly imagine moving cargo from China to London on a rocket. It takes 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Obviously, there's going to be testing. There's only certain, you know, and the environmentalists are going to be on it. So there's going to, I think the biggest hurdle is not the technology, but the regulators.
Yeah.
I think that's where the biggest hurdle is going to be, which is always the case. I mean, some of these governments and politicians, they're just absolute nuisance. I mean, if you look now with Aerion, I mean, Aerion have moved their factory from Nevada to Florida. And I know they were looking at California, and they were also looking at the Seattle, Washington area, because they needed an area over the ocean to test the supersonic business jet.
Yep.
Why did they go to Florida? Because the governor of Florida and the taxation laws in Florida are a lot better than Washington State and California or Oregon. And that's why they took the project over to Florida, because it's more of a business-friendly environment.
Yep.
And you're going to see more and more of that. And that's why, you know, the people flying on the private jets, that's what they do. They fly around. People are more connected than ever. We've got another factor that people don't realize. We've got another 2 billion people coming on the internet in the next few years. And these people, when they come on the internet for the first time, they come on the internet with a cell phone, with 4G or 5G, whatever it may be. And now they're suddenly instantly connected to everybody around the world. And so as it's easier to connect with people on the other side of the world, you get to a point where you need to travel to meet and see what they do and whatnot. And this is where the private jet comes into it, because what a lot of people don't realize is 90% of aircraft accidents happen in third world countries.
Is that I wasn't aware of that statistic. Yeah, okay.
You don't want to be putting your people in jeopardy. So another reason to go by private jet in these emerging markets is because the airline safety record out there is not very good at all. And so you want to be safe. So you go in and out with a private jet, and also frequency of flights in places like that. You know, they're not as frequent as maybe a London to New York, which happens like 8, 9, 10 times a day. You've got lots of options. Yeah, but if you're flying into certain parts in Africa, or you're going from one African country to another, you may have to wait 3 days before you can catch the next flight. Yeah. Well, if you've got a private jet, no problem.
Yeah, it's an undeniable truth that standards in some parts of the world are not the same as they are in Europe or in North America.
I can certainly testify the fact that, you know, the standards are very different. And, you know, certain parts of the world, training is done differently, and you can tell. So you are doing business in third world countries. You want to be going in and out in a private jet. You don't want to be flying on some outback airline, because there could be a surprise.
Well, that's been brilliant. Thank you much. So you've got a load of videos on your YouTube channel, Bizjet TV. How would people find that?
Well, if you just go into YouTube and type in Biz, as in B-I-Z, Jet TV, you'll find it. Or just type in bizjettv.com and it'll take you straight to the YouTube channel. There's over 250 videos on there with the purpose of educating people on the private jets, to make people realize it's not a luxury item. It can be, but the private jet is a business tool if used in a certain way. So on the channel, there's lots of, you know, news updates and my commentary on different things, interviews I've done on television about aviation, and also interviews I've done with private jet owners and how they use the jet to build their business. So there's lots and lots of content out there, and we're producing lots more content as we go along. And the purpose is to educate the market that private jet travel, it's great. It's a business tool. It can help you multiply your business big time, but it needs to be used in a certain way. It has to be approached with a certain type of mindset.
It's fantastic. Fab, thank you so much indeed for your time.
Thank you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot. Fabrizio Poli there, founder of the BizJet TV YouTube channel. If you have a bit of spare time, check out his channel. There's a lot of videos on there, and I think you'll find some that are very interesting.
If you need an aircraft delivered, Julian Story Aviation is your number one choice. Specializing in King Airs, CJs, Citations, and the Learjet 40 and 45, we can help you with everything from factory acceptance or arranging a pre-buy inspection through to guidance on importation, tax implications, and ownership structures, as well as fairing your new aircraft. We have delivered dozens of aircraft worldwide, safely, on time, and on budget, and we would love to help you with yours. If you're buying or selling an aircraft, email fairing@julianstory.co.uk or call us on +44 1624 829 436.
Most of my flying takes me in and out of larger airports with long, hard runways. It's probably been at least 10 years since I last landed on grass. For many recreational pilots, though, this kind of fun flying is what they do all the time. If you look closely at your quarter mil chart, you'll see quite a few farm strips dotted all around the country, and I'm ashamed to say that I've been to almost none of them. Farm strip flying sounds like great fun, though, so joining me now to tell me more about it is Andrew Austin, who owns Oaksea Park Airfield. Andrew, hi.
Hi, Julian.
So, first of all, whereabouts is Oaksea Park Airfield?
So, we're located in Wiltshire. We're right in the heart of the Cotswolds, and it's an absolutely fantastic place to be.
Yeah, that's a beautiful area. What can you tell me about the airfield?
So, Oaksea is a quite sort of traditional type airfield. It's family-owned. Got probably not that far off 50 aircraft based here.
Have you really?
But as farm strips go, it's quite a big farm.
It is.
We try and make it as professional as we possibly can.
Yep.
But whilst we're trying to maintain that feeling of what farm strip flying is about,
yep,
and giving people that sort of abundance of freedom to actually enjoy it. The fixed wing, which go from anything from a one seater to four-seater generally, which are either privately owned or in group ownership. There's also helicopter maintenance on site, so we do quite a lot of helicopter fixed wing maintenance. So it's quite a buzzy place. So there's a clubhouse at the moment. It's all fairly newly renovated, and we try and keep it as spick and span as possibly can. There's no restaurant as such at the moment. We try and make up for that as we do a private car service, which will take you to any of the...
Sounds like a brilliant deal.
I think it's quite a nice way of doing it. Yeah, as someone who flies, I know that if you go somewhere, you expect to have at least, you know, to be able to get something to eat and sit down. So our closest town is probably Cirencester.
Which is beautiful.
Which, again, is a really interesting place. But that's sort of what's so unique about this area is you can land and you're not actually far from anything, really. It's a really good set. We're not far from Chippenham. We're not too far from Bath. We're not too far from Swindon. So we're centrally located that you can get to most places you want quite quickly.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. I mean, I've been flying for 23 years. I'd never even heard of Oaksea Park. That's a shocking thing to admit, isn't it?
I certainly think so. but uh, But you know, that's what sort of almost makes farm strip flying so good, is that there's all those places out there that you know nothing about.
That you can explore.
You know, until you actually go to them. And you realise more than sort of anywhere you go commercially, that you land at this place that you know nothing about. And there's all these sort of little parts of it that are so surprising, whether it be the aircraft that are there, or that they might be some interesting collection of something else there, or B2C.
Absolutely. So for a visiting pilot, what do they need to know? Is there any controlled airspace nearby? What are the landing fees? What is it? Is there anything difficult about getting into Oaksea Park, or is it very straightforward?
I think if you're used to farm strip flying, or in fairly straightforward, we're not in controlled airspace. We've also got Bryce above us.
Yeah.
But Bryce Norton don't really have anything to do with us. They're far enough away from us to not have to worry.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's actually quite a good area. You don't have to worry particularly about controlled airspace. The only thing occasionally we have is Kemble get royal flights.
Yeah.
And then you get a sort of temporary airspace that goes over us, which is usually controlled by Bryce Norton.
Okay. Is there anything else to consider if you're coming in? And what's the landing fee? That's a big question for a lot of private pilots.
Yes. I think most people who fly into farm strips will be really familiar with like noise restriction and noise abatement.
Okay.
Most farm strips are close to either built-up areas or even small villages, farms or equestrian units.
Yeah,
and I think most responsible airfields will do their best to try and mitigate aircraft flying over them, whether it's just to keep the neighbours happy or you know, anything else that might go into that.
Okay.
For ourselves, we have a few noise restricted areas, and for that reason, we've sort of worked our circuit pattern to deal with that. And what we do is we don't do overhead joins. We tend to just join downwind,
yep,
or on a base leg or final if we can work it in.
Okay.
And actually, I think it tends to make it quite easy, you know, just to arrive somewhere, you join downwind, it's easy to sort of work things out. And then once you're down, we charge £10 for a landing. Whether it's a PC-12, which we get in quite regularly, or yep, a PA-28.
Wow, bargain. You don't get a deal like that in many airfields in 2020, do you?
No, you don't. It's definitely something we've seen a lot, is fees going up generally across the board.
Yeah.
Whether it be a small farm strip or, you know, the top end commercial places. So, but you know, we're a family owned business, and we like to try and offer value, whether it be for our fuel or our landing fees. And we also work into that if you arrive and have 50 litres or more fuel, we don't charge you a landing fee either.
Even better. What price at the moment?
At the moment, it's £1.76 a litre, which is reasonably expensive. Yeah. But of course, because of all this coronavirus, we're still on our old stock of fuel. You know, it's still at a good price before coronavirus, but now, obviously, with the fuel prices dropping so much, isn't so good. But I suppose most places are in the same boat, and as soon as this stock's gone, which will be very shortly, and we will get a new stock in, and it will drop fairly dramatically, I'd think.
Okay. So going back to the noise abatement procedures that we were talking about, if somebody wanted to fly into you, where would they find out information about the noise abatement procedure?
So there's lots of different places, and some of them are made easier by the air. A pretty good website where you can find all of that. You can also get hold of a Pooley's guide, which will have all of the charts in it.
Okay.
There are other different guides that you can use as well in paper form. There's also Sky Demon you can use, which is an app, which works really, really well for that kind of flying, where you can get access to all the information you could possibly need.
Okay.
But I mean, I can't sort of stress enough, for all airfields, really, you need to know these things before you come into an airfield. If there's one thing you hear a lot on the radio of people getting upset, it's when an aircraft arrives,
yep,
that sort of clearly has done the right prep.
Yeah,
and ends up flying over the neighbours.
Absolutely, yeah. So, what is the what's the website address?
Oh, this is www.oakseaparkairfield.co.uk. Very simple.
Brilliant.
We're actually working on opening a museum soon. The museum idea sort of came to us probably in the last year.
Okay.
We've actually got a large collection of vintage scout lorries and vintage cars and motorbikes, and also fairground and circus wagons, which is sort of attached to our previous sort of life of being a circus family.
Okay.
And So we have this sort of massive collection of vehicles, and we have to store them somewhere. So we thought, well, if we're going to store them, we may as well open it up to pilots to come and have a look around at.
Sounds fantastic.
And I think also it gives people a reason to come to you as well. And,
absolutely.
And that really is the biggest part of running an airfield business, is you have to give someone a reason to visit you and also to come back.
Absolutely.
Luckily, we actually have a big enough collection to also be able to rotate what we have in the museum. So this is going to be a purpose-built building that's going to be brand new, just made for the housing of all of these interesting vehicles.
Brilliant. When do you expect that to open?
So the building that's going up is going to be replacing another one that was built during the 40s.
Okay.
For farming purposes. So that building's now been torn down, and we've got the building that's going to replace it. So now it's just a matter of doing the sort of final structural works on the ground, and then we can begin getting it together. But who knows? It will certainly open at some time this year, we hope.
Brilliant. So we're recording this on the 15th of May, and today the CAA has just revised its guidance on recreational flying. It looks like that's about to start again. So when are you planning on reopening? When's the earliest that people could come and fly in to see you?
Yes, yeah, so it's an interesting question, because I think a lot of us knew that there would be some sort of change coming, but of course we don't know exactly what it is that was going to happen. Now that it seems we can go back to flying pretty much as we knew it, but obviously with the social distancing rules and things. So our plan is to open to our home-based pilots from tomorrow and try and get back to some sort of normality.
Okay.
And then we're going to see how our measures work, and then I think we can look at revising things once we actually know we can handle taking the visitors as well.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. Andrew, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for doing this.
Yeah, that's not a problem at all. It's good to talk to you.
Andrew Austin there from Oaksea Park Airfield. Sounds like a really cool place. If you fancy visiting, you can check out their website, which is www.oakseaparkairfield.co.uk. So we've just heard from Andrew Austin, who operates Oaksea Park Airfield. And joining us now is John Hunter, who owns an aircraft which is based there. John, hi.
Hi.
So you have quite an unusual aircraft based at Oaksea Park. What do you have?
I have a thing called a Saab 91, which is a Swedish aeroplane, although mine began its life in the Finnish Air Force.
Okay.
It's four seats with retractable gear and a wobbly prop, but essentially designed to be the same thing as a Chipmunk.
Okay.
So it's a military basic trainer and general transport aeroplane.
Okay.
And mine was built in 1962. The design actually goes back to 1945. And it's a lovely little aeroplane. I'm very fond of it.
Brilliant. Does it have a tail wheel? I thought I knew about most light aircraft, but this is one that's never crossed my path before. I presume it's quite rare.
It is quite rare. There was 430 of them built over a period of 1945 to 1967.
Okay.
So there were only ever 430 something in ever, and there's about less than 100, but more than 70 still flying. Most of them are in Northern Europe.
Wow. Okay.
Mine's the only one that flies on the UK register at the moment.
Fantastic.
Your other question was, is it tail wheel? No, I have dedicated tail wheel. And I'm sorry to admit that it's actually a nose wheel.
There's no shame in that. No shame in that. Fantastic. So you're based at Oaksea Park. We spoke to Andrew yesterday. What are the advantages of operating at a farm strip?
I suppose it's that the advantage is that, you know, there's very rarely are you going to come upon a time when you can't fly because there's too many other things flying, or because you have to wait in a long line. You have to get APC permission to fly or whatever.
Yeah, we've all done
that. You can literally just do your proper walk rounds and checks into your aeroplane and fly. And that's definitely the biggest single advantage. It's a huge sense of freedom you get by flying from a farm strip.
Are there any complications operating from a farm strip?
Complications are exactly the flip side of that coin. So we operate, I mean, some farm strips have no radio at all. We actually operate there is a radio, but very often it's manned.
Okay.
And you're doing blind transmissions and doing your own air traffic control from inside your head, effectively, listening to what other people are saying that they're doing. So your collision avoidance is very much down to you looking out the window and being aware of what other people in the sky, if there are any, are doing. And that really is, yeah, there's no local weather function, there's no organization to support you, to help you. The other disadvantage is, if you're like me, I'm a big traveler, I like going places, and if you want to go abroad from there, then you have to stop somewhere else in order to clear customs.
So from Oaksey Park, where would that normally be?
Well, I'm normally going to France, and because I used to fly from Goodwood, I go to Goodwood.
Right, okay, on the south coast. Yeah.
But lots of people go to Bournemouth. That, anywhere on the sort of south coast between Shoreham and Bournemouth really would be the most obvious place to go. But Oakwood is my port of choice, because I used to keep my aeroplane there and I know it well. So.
Absolutely. Do you find that on a farm trip there's more of a sort of a social atmosphere than maybe at a bigger airport? Is that a fair comment, or just something that suspected?
That would,
yeah,
that would be a very fair comment, I think. I was there today. I didn't fly today, but I was up there today to do some work on my aeroplane. Yeah, there were lots of people there, all standing 3 meters apart, but all chatting, watching the aeroplanes fly, and being very social. There's no official club there, but there's a very friendly social atmosphere whenever you meet people there.
Brilliant. Okay. So having operated from a strip, you would never be tempted to go back to a bigger airport?
Not if I could avoid it, no.
No, very good. And from a cost point of view, I presume there's a benefit there as well, is there?
It is. It does tend to be cheaper. Certainly, I pay less than I used to pay at Goodwood. And back in the dim and distant past, the very first aeroplane, in fact, I owned a share in, was kept at Bristol. And certainly, it was a lot more. I moved from there to Oaksey Park back in the 90s.
Did you? Oh, yeah.
And I've been to other places since and then come back to Oaksey Park about 3 years ago. But I used to operate from a farm strip near Sandy in Bedfordshire.
Okay.
Called Little Grandston.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. Yep.
Yeah, nice little place.
Lovely.
I used to fly chipmunk out of there, obviously.
Is this the first is this the first aircraft you've owned, or you've owned aircraft previously to this, have you?
I've owned shares in an aeroplane before. I've owned shares in 4 aeroplanes before, okay. But this is the only one I've ever owned outright.
Have you got a respectable history, or are they sorry, dull aeroplanes? If you're talking about tailwheel, I reckon there's some exciting stuff in there, is there?
Well, the very first aeroplane I owned a share in was a thing called the Robin DR221.
Yeah, I know.
It is vaguely infamous, that particular one, because Top Gear destroyed it on television.
That seems a shame.
Yes, and then when I first went to Oakley Park in the 90s, I flew a Tri-Pacer from there.
Nice, yeah.
Then, what did I own after that? Oh, then I went to France. I lived in France for a long time, and I actually just flew club aeroplanes over there. So I flew DR-51s and 172s.
Yeah.
Then I bought a share in a Chipmunk. That was the one that was based at Little Grandston.
Okay.
and now I own this one.
Now you've got the Saab. Okay.
Which is definitely an interesting aeroplane. If you want to know more about it, then I run a website, because I'm about to fly around the world in it.
Are you really?
I am. And I run a website called flyingvisit.org.
Okay.
And there's a whole history of the aeroplane on there if you want to have a look at it.
I should definitely have a look at it, because I've never seen one, and I'm trying to get a picture in mind of what it looks like. So how long do you think...
It was on the front cover of February's Pilot magazine as well.
So. Do you know, I've got that somewhere. I didn't even notice it. So this round the world trip, what's that about?
Well, there's a whole history to that one too. I've been flying for 30 years.
Okay.
And when I first started flying, people sort of said, why? And I flippantly used to say, I'm going to fly around the world one day. And it just sort of became my tagline. Every time I spoke to somebody about flying, I'm going to fly around the world one day. And about 2.5 years ago, somebody said to me, so what's stopping you? And after a moment's thought, I thought, the only reason I haven't done it is because I've decided I haven't done it yet. So I better go and do it. So
amazing.
I was actually originally going to go this year, but clearly with the epidemic, I can't go.
Correct.
So now it's been postponed until next year.
Okay, very good. Do you know what route you're going to take yet?
It changes, but fundamentally the route is France, Italy, Greece, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Oman, India, Thailand, Indonesia, Australia, back into Indonesia, then South Korea, then Japan, then Russia, across to Alaska. And because I want to include all of the continents, then all the way down the west coast of the US into South America, then back up into North America. I'm going to go to Oshkosh next year.
Incredible.
And then fly the normal route, so Canada, Greenland, Iceland, back to Scotland.
Amazing.
From Oshkosh.
That sounds absolutely tremendous. And you're going to do this in your Saab, are you?
I'm going to do this in my Saab, yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, it'll be a real rarity in America because a Saab 91 has never been to America.
I'm sure that's true. Yeah, absolutely. What happens with stuff like maintenance? Because, I mean, presumably a trip like that, you're going to need maintenance, scheduled maintenance as well as anything if you go tech. How's that going to work? Because it's presumably a G-registered aeroplane and a rare aeroplane.
It is a G-registered aeroplane. And I am hoping... So there are two plans. One is luck is in my favour and we go back to the maintenance regime that we had before we were in EASA.
Yeah.
Which allows pilots fundamentally to do 50 hours and 100-hour checks, but you need to have an annual burn by. So because it'll only be 50-hour and one-hour checks on my way around, I can do them all myself.
Okay.
I am an engineer by training. I'm just not a licensed aeroplane engineer.
Okay, so that will help. Yeah,
It does help. The other way is even under the existing regime, 50-hour checks can be done by the pilot.
Okay.
And because it's 300 hours worth of flying, the three 100-hour checks, I will have to pay for my TAME engineer to fly over and do it for me.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds incredible.
I'm hoping to avoid that.
Yeah, absolutely right. That sounds absolutely amazing. Well, good luck with that. And what was the address of the website again?
The website is www.flyingvisit.org.
Fantastic. Well, we'll all try and follow you on that. Thank you very much for your time. Good luck with the trip. And I'm definitely going to go check out Oaksey Park.
Please do. And by all means, give me a call and ask questions if you've got any.
In fact, once you're on the round the world trip, be nice to speak to you in some interesting places.
Oh, yeah. Be delighted to do that as well.
Thank you so much indeed for your time. Thank you very much indeed.
If you've enjoyed listening to this edition of the Julian Story Aviation Podcast, then don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Acast, and all the normal places that you would download your podcast from. If you have any comments about the podcast or have any great ideas for a podcast guest, drop me an email to podcast@julianstory.co.uk. Finally, now that the recreational flying restrictions have been partially relaxed, I hope that some of you may have been able to get up into the air. If you are one of those lucky ones, fly safe and keep it shiny side up.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.